So tonight we are going to keep talking about a similar theme that we talked about last week, and we're looking at another miracle that Jesus did, and it actually has to do with another guy who was paralyzed. And so it's kind of like a part two of last week, which was talking about how to take a stand, right? And this dude who had these incredible friends who brought this guy to Jesus, even though there was this massive crowd and it was almost impossible to get close to Jesus, they knew something. They knew that he was the only way this guy was ever going to be healed. And so they were willing to take him through this crowd on this bed, carry him all the way there, climb up onto a roof, cut a hole in a roof, and lower this guy down right in front of Jesus inside where he was teaching, all so that he could just meet Jesus. Because they knew that is exactly what he needed. They knew he was the only thing that this guy needed, right? It was the only way he would ever be healed, is if he could have met Jesus face to face. And of course, Jesus shows up and Jesus heals this guy, but he does so much more than just causing him to get up, carry his bed, and dance out of there. Like, Jesus actually looks at him and says, "Hey man, your sins are forgiven because of your faith." Jesus did more than just heal his legs. Jesus brought this guy back to life spiritually and gave him eternal life, forgave his sins, made him right with God. And so this faith component is really important for us. As we're talking about believing in Jesus, sometimes we're looking for some small thing, right? We're like, God, like when we pray, it might sound like this, like, God, help this physical thing and that physical thing and this little thing over here. And it's like this wish list rather than this list of things that we say, Lord, I can't handle these things. I can't control these things. I can't fix these things. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to take them all and lay them at your feet. Isn't that a very different way to pray? Then, God, here's what I'm asking you to do. Why don't you go ahead and do this, 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 and this for me and get that done? Like, we're God's boss, you know, and we like tell him what to do. Instead, we come and we take all those things and we lay them at his feet and we say, look, there's no way else this can be done except for if you decide to step in here, God. And it's like we're kind of lowering these things down from a roof just to get them close to Jesus, just to lay them at Jesus' feet and say, there's no way we can heal these things. There's no way we can fix them or restore them. Like, my family's broken, God, and I need you to fix it. So instead of telling you to do it, laying it at your feet because you're the only one who can do it. This friendship I have is broken over here and I need you to mend it and I can't do it. I need to lay it at your feet, Jesus, and let you do what you'll do. Right? And we can go through these different things in our lives that are out of our control, which, let's be honest, it's everything. Like, we don't control anything, really. Everything deserves to be at the feet of Jesus. And just say, you're the only one who could do this, Jesus, so fix it if you choose to. If you don't, I'm good with it, but I just want to lay these things at your feet. Like, those dudes let this guy down through the roof and laid him at Jesus' feet. I want to do that with my heart. I want to do that with literally my whole life. I want to take it all and lay it at your feet. And so this week we're looking at another guy who also was paralyzed, was not able to walk. This guy had spent like 35 years, I think, to not able to walk. And so all of a sudden, Jesus comes along in his path. And we're going to see this incredible thing tonight that Jesus does. So we're in John chapter 5, starting right in verse 1. Let's read it together. It says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" Verse 7, the sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water stirred up, and while I'm going, another steps in before me." And Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now that day was a Sabbath, so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It's the Sabbath and it's not lawful for you to take up your bed." But he answered them, "The man who healed me, that man said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.' They asked him, "Who is the man who said that to you? Take up your bed and walk." Now, the man who had been healed didn't know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn as there was a crowd in the place. And afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you're well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. Whew. What a story. I love the story because I see myself in like every single line of what's written here. There's so many similarities that this broken dude has with my own life. And I think most of us, if we were honest, could kind of see ourselves in each of these details. And here's Jesus, just being Jesus, just doing what he does. Another paralyzed guy laying by a pool. And it's cool as we look through this, right? As we walk through what's going on, there are so many incredible things that we could dig out. We're not going to tonight, but I challenge you to go back and study this passage, maybe on your own, in your own Bible time, and find out all the little details of really beautiful things about who Jesus is that show up in this passage. All these little teeny things that line up with prophecy about what Jesus will do and who he is and the fact that he's going through a sheep gate and there's a pool and like all these incredible things, even the fact that it was Feast of the Jews, like these all mean something. They're all leading up and pointing to Jesus being the Messiah coming to earth to die for you and me. All of these things are saying something. And like I said, we don't have time tonight, but we could spend weeks and weeks just digging into this passage, looking at all those little details. It's incredible what's happening here. But the end kind of total of it all, it says this: Jesus is God. It's crying it out through every detail of this passage that Jesus is fulfilling all the prophecies that point to him as the God of this universe and the Savior of mankind. And in the middle of all that incredible power, we have this really, really humble story. This fragile man who's broken, who nobody notices and nobody seems to care about. The king of creation is standing there. Angels are looking out of heaven, literally bowing down to Jesus. And at his side is the most seemingly insignificant human on earth. He's a poor, broken invalid, lying by a pool because he has nowhere else he could be, hoping to be healed, absolutely broken. Man, the contrast is huge. You would think Jesus would not care about this insignificant person. Being who Jesus is, like why would he care? But you know how beautiful that is for us, for you and me? Because that means that if Jesus noticed that guy, in the moments where I feel so insignificant and so broken and think, Jesus, why would you ever care that I'm sitting here? Why would you ever look my way? Why would the king of all creation care that Rob Jones has showed up? That I'm sitting here broken. And I see this story and I'm reminded Jesus does care about every single last one of us. And he searches us out. Tonight, he's looking for you. Each in our own way, in our own place, wherever we are in our journeys, he's there and he's searching us out and he's chasing after us for different reasons and different things he wants to do in our lives. For some of us, we don't know him as our Savior and he's chasing you down. And he's trying to show you that he loves you. And he's trying to show you that he has grace to forgive you and that he can save you and turn your life around and give you a new identity and all these incredible things. And for others of us, maybe we know Jesus and we're just kind of off doing our thing though, and we've forgotten who we are. And he's chasing us down too. And he's trying to bring us back and show us, remind us who he's made us to be, who he's called us to be. Wherever you are on that spectrum, right? Jesus is trying to talk to us tonight. We could put ourselves in the story and be that person by the pool. And there's Jesus looking at us and he loves us and he has so much to say, so much to do inside of us. Because it says that he looked at this guy with compassion. at this broken man, just like he sees us. In our sin, in our brokenness, in our hurting families and relationships and friendships and all the things, in our struggles with sin even, he sees it. He knows our hearts. And he loves us still through all of those things. And he wants to heal us. And he wants to bring redemption to our brokenness. Just like he does to this guy here in the story. But look at the words that he says to him. I love the end of verse 6. He asks him this question as he looks at this guy. He says, do you want to be healed? Like, what kind of question? At first, I'm like, what kind of question is that, Jesus? Like, of course, look at me, right? Like, look at me. I can't walk. I haven't walked in 38 years. I'm stuck here by this pool hoping a miracle is going to happen. Now, the deal with the pool is that in that time, it was a belief that when the waters were stirred, that the Holy Spirit was moving on the waters. And if you dunked in the pool at that time, all of a sudden there would be this miraculous healing power. And whatever was hurting you or however you were broken, it would be healed. And so all these people are waiting by the pool, and they were always waiting by the pool, hoping for a miracle. And so his excuse to Jesus, when Jesus is like, don't you want to be healed? He could have felt like this kind of shame and guilt. Like, man, you've been here, what, 38 years? And you're still not healed? Like, what's your deal? Like, the water's right there, dude. In 38 years, you couldn't figure out how to get in the water and get healed. That's how this man might have taken what Jesus was asking. But that's not what Jesus was asking. Jesus knew he had been there. He knew how long he was broken. Jesus knew everything about this guy. He also knew that the water isn't what he needed. What he needed was the Savior. And as Jesus stood there, he could have easily just said, and here I am. You need me. More than a pool of water, more than a stirring, more than this superstition or whatever. You need me. I am the miracle. And guess what? Here I am. Listen, how many of us tonight, we think we need a certain thing to fix us. We might pray for it. We might look for it, search for it, try to make it happen maybe in our own lives. Because we think that's what we need, just like this guy. Just like all these people sitting at the pool, right? And we might just be sitting there for another 38 years trying to make it happen our way. And Jesus is trying to tell us something in this passage. He's looking us straight in the face and he's saying, don't you want to be healed? Maybe he is saying, hey, what's taking so long? I'm right here. I came to heal you. So what are you doing? Why don't you let me do that? Why don't you ask me? I'm standing right here. I came in the sheep gate. It's Sabbath. It's Passover. I'm fulfilling every prophecy. You had to have heard of my miracles. Here I am. I'm standing here. You can put these, to connect these dots, right? I'm what you need. But how many of us are doing the same thing tonight? And Jesus is like, hey, listen, I know that brokenness is in your life. I know you keep struggling with that sin that keeps kicking your butt all the time, and you keep falling right back into it and then apologizing to Jesus and then falling back into it and then apologizing again. And it feels like this endless cycle where this sin just keeps winning. And Jesus is like, don't you want to be healed? He's not sticking his finger in your face being like, you're weak. He's sticking his finger in your face and going, I'm right here. I'm right here. I love you. I want to heal you. You don't have to convince me of that. That's what I'm standing here for. I don't need to stand in the, look at, I'm walking on both legs. I don't need the water. I don't need the miracle. I am the miracle. I came for you. And listen, Jesus has come for you tonight. And he's got a miracle for you. And it might not be the one you're telling him to do. And it might not be this big physical spectacle. It might just be the fact that he's going to fix the brokenness of your heart tonight. That's a bigger miracle than most of us could even ask for. It might be that some of us are dead spiritually tonight. And we need to be brought to life. Have our sins forgiven by the creator of the universe. been given eternal life. And Jesus is here to do it. This is the pool. He's in our presence. We're in his presence. And he's looking at us tonight. And he's going, don't you want to be healed? Whatever the thing is you brought in those back doors tonight, are you ready to take him and lay him at his feet and say, Jesus, heal it? Yes, I'm ready. I want to be healed. Here's the problem. A lot of us tend to do what this guy does next. This incredible question, he should have just been like, yes, absolutely, heal me, fix my legs, Jesus. But he doesn't. For some reason that I think we all know too well, he says something very different. Look at verse 7. It says, the sick man answered him, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water stirred up. And while I'm going down, another steps in before me. He was making excuses. The dude's just making excuses. Like, why at this moment when Jesus is basically offering you the miracle, would you ever go, well, look, I just couldn't pull it off, and here's why it didn't happen, and like, this guy keeps stepping in, this man, that everyone keeps cutting me in line, and then I'm not able to get in the pool, I got nobody to help me, and look at my legs, you know, like, I can't, like, there's no, instead of being like, Jesus, heal me. You're the only one who can. He makes excuses. And look, we can make fun of him all day long for that and think, that's crazy, I'd never do it. But the honest truth is, most of us tonight are doing that very thing in our lives. Probably almost everybody in here. It's such a human thing. How dare we look at others and go, why would you do that? Because most of us probably are. Jesus has so many things, good gifts, that he wants to offer to you and me, but instead we're choosing the world and we're choosing our plans and our desires and all the things. Everything has to look the way we've thought about it and dreamed about it and imagined it and worked so hard to get to this spot. And like, this is what I want my life to look like and my friends to look like and the person I'm dating and like all these things the way I want it. And meanwhile, I'm sitting here broken inside. Who cares what I've attained? Because everything's so broken. Empty. And I got Jesus sitting right there going, hey, don't you want to be healed? Don't you want to let me out that and let me fix it? And we go on with the excuses instead. And we say, well, see, what happened was the reason why I didn't do this or do that, or Jesus, what's going on right now is I was distracted and the excuses begin. And we don't run out, right? There's so many. It's like there's always another excuse that we can hand over to Jesus why we didn't just surrender everything to him. And he's like, that's how it's fixed. You can't hold on to it and expect me to fix it. You got to hand it to me. You got to give it over to me and trust me with it, right? Like, take your life, lay it in my hands, and let me fix your life. You can't hold on to it like this and expect me to be able to fix it. I want you to willingly give it to me. And I'll take it and I will fix it. But so many of us instead just make the excuse. Stop making excuses. He doesn't care about your excuses. Nobody does. Well, I feel guilty, Rob. Well, nobody cares. But I'm embarrassed about this. Nobody's looking. Nobody's judging. Nobody notices. We're all broken. You are not tricking anybody when you walk in here if you think people don't think you're a sinner. Because guess what? Spoiler alert, the Bible already says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We know every last one of us is already a sinner. So take your guilt and punt it across the room and say, Jesus, no more excuses. I'm done with it. I'm just going to hand it over to you. I'm admitting I'm broken. I'm admitting I can't. I'm surrendering to you so that you'll take it and you'll fix it and you'll heal me, whatever that thing might be. And listen, some of us are struggling because we're holding on to that sin or that thing in our life. We're like, don't touch this, Jesus. Fix everything else. Work on all this other stuff. Leave this alone. This right here is mine, and we will guard it. We will scratch and kick and scream so no one takes it from us. That's the thing, and that's the very thing that's keeping us from going, I want to be healed. Take it. Give it all up. Surrender all of it over to Jesus and say, heal me. But enough with the excuses. You see, what happens is when Jesus looks at us and goes, hey, I'm ready to heal you. He asks us that question. Are you ready? Like, do you want to be healed? What happens? This is what it should look like. In verse 8, Jesus said to him, get up, take up your bed and walk. That's the picture that should have happened. Not, oh, well, I got excuses. This dude cut me off. But instead, just get up, shut your mouth. There's no talking involved here. Stop the excuses. Just get up, pick up your bed and walk. Just like that other guy from last week who got let down from the roof. Get up, pick up your bed. Your sins are forgiven, right? It says the same thing to this guy. Get up, take up your bed and walk. That's action. That's like this instant reaction to what Jesus is saying. He says the thing, right? He offers a thing, and immediately we should be like, yes, that's what he's looking for here. We're called to action, like to respond to Christ's offer to us. Man, why is that so hard? Why is that so difficult to do? When I was out in a field one day, I like to pretend I'm like a farmer sometimes. I'm not at all. But I got a little tractor and a little bit of land, and I was out kind of just on my tractor doing some stuff, mowing some stuff down, just driving my tractor back and forth. My buddy was out there helping me do some stuff out there, and we're just messing around, and he's kind of like down across the field a little bit, doing some handwork with a shovel, and I'm driving the tractor around, and my tractor has these two beams that go up on the side with like this little square thing for like a roof just to keep the sun off your head, basically, right? And I'm driving around. I come around, turn the corner. I'm heading back to where my friend is across the field, and he is just like going crazy. I'm like, what is that dude doing? And he's like jumping and waving and pointing and doing all this crazy stuff. And I'm looking around like, oh man, is the tractor on fire? Did I run somebody over? Like, what is going on? Is there like a tree falling on me? And I can't figure out for the life of me what he's doing. And so as I'm watching him, like, I even slow down and I'm just like doing one of these, trying to like, you know, communicate with my hands, which I have no idea how to. And so it's just nonsense. And all of a sudden I see this little blur in the corner of my eye. And it catches my eye, my peripheral. And I'm like, what? And so I turn my head just in time to look death straight in its jaws. Right? I am looking into hell itself as this black snake is hanging down from that roof that I talked about. It had somehow like crawled inside the roof and it was coming out of this little hole. This massive like black snake is hanging down and it's just like right here, just like blah, with his nasty little tongue going, blah, 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 you know, one of those. And he's just like looking at me. I don't know why I'm making a fox, but it was a snake. And so he's like, and I'm like, ah, you know, one of those. And so, you know, I'm driving a tractor, but I don't realize it anymore because I'm about to get bit in the face by a snake. Like, so I jump off the tractor. Well, when I jump off the tractor, like, I don't stop it. I don't put the brake on. Like, the tractor is just driving. I guess the snake now is driving my tractor, right? And I'm just, like, on the ground, just, like, screaming like a little girl. My friend's like, the tractor! You know, like, and, like, the tractor's just kind of, like, doing circles now. And there's a snake hanging. And I'm just like, ah! And my friend's chasing this tractor. It's, like, crazy. Listen, when I think of a moment when Jesus is like, hey, I want you to move, I feel like he's calling us to respond the way we would in a moment like that. Like, we take it so seriously. We look it in the face, what he says in his words, not that we're scared of it, right? But that, like, we take this seriously enough that we go. Like, there's this immediacy, this urgency to what we do that puts us up off our butts, onto our feet, and we're like, Jesus, what is it you'd have me do? And we jump into action. But that doesn't tend to be the picture, right? The picture often when Jesus is like, hey, Rob, you're messed up. You're broken right now. You don't even see it. Because a lot of times when we're broken, we're lost in our brokenness. We don't even know what's happening. We just realize, like, I'm sad. I feel lonely. I feel, you name the thing, right? And it's like, I don't even realize how I got here. And we need to hear the voice of Jesus going, hey, don't you want to be healed? You've been sitting there for so long. in your brokenness and your sin. That at that moment, we should respond. There should be an urgency that makes us get up, take up our bed, and go. Enough with the excuses why we can't do it and what we're trying to hold on to. But instead, Jesus, take it all. Fix all of it. Let me give you every last piece of my life because it's better in your hands than in mine. You're going to do far better things with every detail of my life than I could ever do with any of them. Take it all. And I would jump at that opportunity. Have Jesus step in and bring healing into my life. And then in verse 9, it says, and at once, okay? So he gets it. At once, there's this immediacy, right? The man was healed. He took up his bed and he walked. Like, that's what Jesus does. This miracle happens. This miracle takes place, and this guy never stepped foot in the water. It wasn't the water he needed. It was the Savior he needed. When are we going to get it, y'all? And yeah, I'm talking to Christians too. When are we going to stop going back every time trying to do things our way and instead be like, I need the Savior. I just need Jesus. And the second we hear his voice offering to heal us, we jump and we say, Jesus, here I go. Take it. Heal me. Let me pick up my bed and walk and follow after you. Then it says next, it says, now that day was the Sabbath. So like on the Sabbath, you weren't supposed to do stuff. It was tradition. You don't carry things or do work or like you can't do any of that stuff. And there were all these very intricate and specific laws about what you could and couldn't do. And carrying something like a bed was work, and that was not allowed on Sabbath. It was a day of complete rest. And so the Jews, it says in verse 10, they said to the man who had been healed, hey, it's the Sabbath. It's not lawful for you to take up your bed. Like, what are you doing, right? But he answered him, and he's like, oh, hold on, check this out. The man who healed me, didn't know who he was yet, right? That man said to me, take up your bed and walk. He's like, so you're telling me the law says I can't pick up my bed and walk, but the law never healed me. You guys are trying to tell me to obey this thing over here, this law, that I've been sitting for 38 years waiting for it to do something in my life. Your law sent me to that pool. Your law told me to sit there and wait. Your law, and you're telling me to obey this law. But here's the deal. This dude's actually like healed me. I saw power in him enough that after 38 years, I'm walking and able to carry my bed. The law could never have done that. Why would I obey that when I'm going to obey the one that just demonstrated that he is God? I'm going to do what he says. Man, there's a lesson there, right? So many of us obeying a thing. Empty things, promising you things, promising to fix things or make things the way you want them to be. Saying, obey me, do it my way, do this, do that. And you know what? What we really need is to stop and be like, who saved you? Who's the one who had the power to give you eternal life, to forgive your sin, to fix your broken life? That's only Jesus. So guess what? He's proven it. He deserves your faith. He deserves your obedience. Follow Jesus. Say yes to Jesus. Listen, I know there's tons of stuff that seem attractive today to follow and to go after and to live for. Things that feel good and look good and all the stuff. I know. But the one thing, the one person that can prove to you they're worth it. All your faith, all your trust, all your obedience, there's only one that can prove that. And it's Jesus. If you're a believer tonight, you know it because he saved you. He's already changed your life. He's already forgiven your sin. So what are you doing? Don't you want to be healed? You already know he can. Verse 13, it says, now the man who had been healed, he didn't know who it was. He didn't know who Jesus was at the time. For Jesus had withdrawn, so he didn't get a chance to talk to him, ask him his name. As there was a crowd in the place, there's so many people who lost track of where he was, he couldn't point him out. Verse 14 says, afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you're well. It's like excited for him, like, listen, look, man, you're walking, you're healed. And so here's his advice. Christians, people who believe in Jesus, who have been healed, who have been saved and forgiven, hear this advice well tonight. This is what he's saying to us too. Sin no more. He's forgiven your sin. Give up your love for sin. So many of us are stuck in this love relationship with sin that we just can't let it go. Jesus says, sin no more. Leave it behind. Get rid of it. I've already taken care of it. Sin no more that nothing worse may happen to you. This is like a really, really intense thing that Jesus says to him here. And I hope we hear it tonight. As believers, Jesus wants to transform us from the inside out. In every moment that you spend with him, in his company, in his presence, as you're praying and reading the word, as you're studying and just letting him do things in your life, he's making you more like him. And you're able to go, I don't want to sin. I want you, Jesus. And the more time you abide in Christ and he abides in you, the more you start to look like him. But it's time for us to let go of those things that are holding us back from that. It's time for us to hear that question ringing in our ears that he's asking you, don't you want to be healed? He calls us to grow. Look what he says in verse 15. The man went away and he told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. There's this excitement to go to your friend and be like, Jesus just did this thing in my life. Like, Jesus just saved me. Bro, you have to come to my youth group and check this out. You have to come over to my house and study the Bible with me. You have to meet me at coffee and let's just pray together. You have to, whatever the thing is, right? But there's this excitement in me that says, I need people to know who Jesus is. I can't contain it because he just worked a miracle in my life. And I believe it's true so much, I can't shut up about it. You're like, I'm an introvert, Rob. I know, me too. I get it. I'm really shy and timid. I know, me too. I get it. Like, it's hard to be on a stage and preach because it makes me nervous and sick and all those things, right? But God's like, get up and preach and go talk to people. And I get it. I get you if that's you. And it's hard to be like, hey, you need to go be vocal about Jesus when you're like us. It's easier if you're an extrovert and you love to talk to people and you're not embarrassed or all that stuff. But like, honestly, at the end of the day, it doesn't have to do with me or with you. It has to do with this miracle that we saw. That we saw so personally. It happened inside of us. Where we say, Jesus, I'm scared to death. But I want you to tell the world through me that you're real. That you saved me. That you healed me. And it might not look like standing on a stage. It might be a quiet conversation with a friend. But there's this thing that happens in us that makes us like this guy. It makes us get up and take our mat and go out and be like, hey, everybody, like, you've got to hear the story. Check this out. Like, 38 years ago, and now look at me, right? I'm walking. Jesus has changed my whole life. So tonight, you got to be able to answer that question. Do you want to be healed? Will you bow your heads and close your eyes for just a second? I'm just going to, as we take a second, just talk to Jesus. I'm going to let you just think about that question right now. Do you want to be healed? Just in the quiet of your heart, will you ask the Lord, what is it you want to do in me? Maybe right now you even ask him, God, will you just give me the courage to say yes?